Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Of the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, the first poses a serious challenge for a large majority of Missouri elementary school students. This year's Annie E. Casey Foundation's Kids Count report shows that in 2022, only 30% of fourth graders in the state can read well enough to use their literacy skills to learn other subjects. And this August, the St. Louis branch of the NAACP called upon the U.S. Department of Education's Office of Civil Rights to address low literacy levels in St. Louis City and county schools. It also called upon community members' support and creativity to come up with fresh ways to improve kids' reading proficiency. Our next guest understands that assignment, and his approach to promoting child literacy is about meeting them where they are, both as a former teacher and a rapper. When I wake up in the morning, thinking how to make a change. Oh, nah, 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 nah. Asking God protect the children. Oh, nah, 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 nah. And make the world a better place. A better place. I want peace. Love has no color that I can see. Here to talk with us about his approach and how he hopes to support kids' literacy in even more communities across the St. Louis region, we welcome Byron Waters, also known as rapper Zeus Rebel Waters. Zeus, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Sure. So before you were doing music full time, you were a teacher. What grade did you teach and what were you seeing in kids' literacy levels then?
Okay, so the school that I was at was a trauma-informed school called ECH. It's in the Normandy School District. So we had, like, we can have a fifth grader, fourth grader, even maybe a sixth grader all in the same classroom. All of the kids had IEPs, different issues. And it was really cool, though. It was liberating to work with that population.
Mm-hmm. And what were you seeing about the kids' abilities to read at a level that they needed to?
Well, reading was definitely low, and we see that a lot in schools today. And I think it's just because it's not really taught at home. Like, we're not reading to kids the way, you know, our parents maybe read to us when we were younger. And I just don't even think that in their eyes, some of the youth eyes, reading hasn't been promoted as a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're trying to do is we're just trying to change the narrative and make reading be, you know, something that's cool when they see people that they like to see on TV. And when you go on YouTube and you see those images of people starting to promote literacy,
mm-hmm.
then I feel like that can really change the narrative and change the approach to how children feel about reading.
Right. You have your own story.
Yes.
When it comes to family and reading, right?
Yes.
Talk with us about that background, that history, and how it is connected to the program that you created.
Well, it really comes from my mom. My mom's grandmother was illiterate. She couldn't read or write at all. So my mom would always go with my grandmother everywhere she went, and she would count her money. She would do all of those different things. So it was really inspired by my mom. My mom read to me a lot as a kid, so much where I was just like, Mom, no more books. I'm throwing books, because we had books on books on books. It's like, mm-hmm. if I wanted to do anything, I had to read a book first. So
yeah.
Reading was definitely promoted in my household, but the program was really inspired because, you know, my mom just always told me those stories about her grandmother not being able to read and how she had to do everything for her grandmother. So I was like, oh, man, well, I definitely need to make sure I know how to read so that I can, you know, be a productive citizen.
Yeah. Was there any other inspiration for reading with rappers? I mean, was it an interaction you had with someone that made you think, I really need to do something in order to support children's literacy in particular?
Yeah, well, definitely. Like we talked about before, we all read the statistics and you see how Our children are barely reading, especially in the Black and brown community. Reading is not being promoted. I mean, it is now, but it hasn't in the past been promoted the way it needs to be promoted. So doing that and being a pillar in my community, I just felt like it was something that I definitely needed to do and that I definitely needed to promote. And then I feel like, you know, when you see me, I don't look like your average school teacher. I don't really look like a school teacher. You know what I mean? What the ideal picture image of a school teacher would be doesn't really look specifically like me. But I feel like that should change. Mm-hmm. I feel like in this day and age, in today's society, like I said, kids are into music. They're into what they see on TV, pop, mm-hmm. hip hop. They're into celebrities. They're into fashion. They're into style. So just think, if your teacher walks in and he's dressed like this, you know what I mean? And he got a big chain on, but it's still all positive and it's promoting literacy. It's like, you're going to be like, oh my God, my teacher is so cool. I'm coming to school. I mean, mm-hmm. I would.
Yeah.
For sure.
So just to provide those who are listening with a visual of what you are wearing,
right,
what you
look like. Because they can't see it, so I got to break the outfit down, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So boom, we walked in here, we at the, you know, public radio. We got the bling on the wrist, of course. Bling, bling, Cash Money Records. Y'all remember the song. We got the nice big diamond piece on the neck. You know, we got the green furry bucket. You know, then we still got to support what's going on because it's voting time. So I got a nice voting T-shirt on. Then to match it, we got some red Adidas, which is so hip hop. Adidas, just such a hip hop brand. Adidas jogging pants. And kind of mixed mashing up a little bit. I got Nikes on. So Nikes with Adidas, but that's okay. It's Monday.
Right. But they're red, which is a very St. Louis thing.
Yes,
right?
There you go. They are red. I am matching. And my hat doesn't match because it's green, but mm-hmm. that's okay.
Okay. So you had mentioned what kids might think of or what they would expect of a teacher, and you are sort of breaking those expectations.
Yeah, breaking the barriers, breaking those walls now.
What is it, though, about rappers? Because this is reading with rappers.
Correct.
This is not reading with musicians or artists or creators.
Correct.
What is it about rappers that also sort of gets at people's perceptions?
Well, that's two answers to that question. So we do have people that are a part of the program that are not rappers. You know, sometimes we bring different kind of artists in and just, you know, just different people of society. But reading with rappers just sounds cool, don't
right.
it? Don't it just sound so
the
much
alliteration,
better?
Right,
yeah, it sounds
right.
so much better than calling it reading with violinists. So, you know, we're calling it reading with rappers.
Mm-hmm.
Myself being still an artist, but doing multiple genres now. So I still put some hip hop and some rap in some of my music, but
right.
as the song that you guys played before,
exactly, yeah.
I'm not rapping on that song. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's to answer your question, I think reading with rappers just has a better ring to it.
Right, right.
And yeah, I think the perception of what a rapper is not always highlighted as, you know, a great thing
mm-hmm.
just because of the media and just because of things that we see on TV. So I just feel like, you know, why not put the culture in a positive light
mm-hmm.
where people can like see it and be like, okay,
yeah. So what does that look like? And what I mean by this is, in the interactions that you have had with kids as you are reading, is there a specific example that is of a child who has taken in the reading that you're doing and has responded in a really memorable way?
For sure. I can remember just reading to some of the students in my classroom and them telling me, Mr. Waters, I don't like reading. That's whack. That's lame. I don't want to sit here and read no book. And then when I kind of like broke it down to them how the reading aspect was important because this specific student wanted to be an athlete, I'm like, well, you mm-hmm. got to read your contract. I'm like, what if you get signed and you go to the league and you can't read the contract and
right.
you lose millions of dollars because you can't read and you depending on this agent to read it, but he telling you to say something totally different than what the contract actually says. And he looked at me, he was like, damn, Mr. Waters, you know what I'm saying? That makes sense. You,
right.
You right. So, you know, that was just one small story, but there are many stories of us going into schools and kids that start off and it's kind of like, I don't want to read no book. Then we get into it and get some rhythm going with those stories. And some of the stories, we're rapping the stories and, get a different response at the end.
Right.
For sure.
So making it relevant and relatable,
yes,
in some 100%, way.
That's the word,
really
relatable,
key.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So knowing that some of these students, or maybe a lot of the students you'll be reading with, mm-hmm. that they are not interested in reading, they're not interested in books, how do you select books to read with them or for them?
Well, most of the books we choose are St. Louis Black authors.
Okay.
Just because we just, like I said, most of the communities that we serve are Black and Brown communities. Mm-hmm. So we just want to give them that motivation to show them that, hey, somebody that came from somewhere just like you wrote this book.
Right.
And they have this book and they're promoting this book and selling this book. So we do that for that one reason, for that aspect. And also, we just try to get books because most of the population has been like pre-K up to like third grade. Then we mm-hmm. do some fourth graders.
Yeah.
So we just try to get books that have a lot of vibrant colors, books that are where you can kind of go with the book and act out some of the story, and just try to go with innovative books for real.
So things that will really engage on different
engaging
levels.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And do you have a favorite book or two?
Right now, the book that I like the best that we've been reading is called Rock What You Got, and it's actually by a St. Louis Black female by the name of Asia, mm-hmm. and she wrote the book because she has a different series. So shout out to Rock What You Got. I think it's a great book, and you wrap the book as you're going, and mm-hmm. it's really cool, and the kids really enjoy it. So that's my favorite so far.
We're speaking with Zeus Rubble Waters, who's the creator of Reading with Rappers, which is a program that does readings to support child literacy in the St. Louis area. So in getting this thing off the ground and running it for a little while, I understand that it kind of got its start last year and really took off this summer.
Yeah, for sure.
How could you tell that it was touching people, that it was working?
Yeah, well, I can tell in the children just by, like I said, walking in there and you telling them, you know, they see me. So it's like, oh, who is that? Mm-hmm. Then it's like, well, we're reading. And it's kind of like, then it's like getting the program started. You can see the excitement once they're getting into it and getting in the groove of it. So I can tell from that. I can tell from the phone calls. I mean, hey, I'm here with you guys, St. Louis Public Radio. This is a huge deal for me. So coming to places like this and getting so many calls from Channel 4 and all the different news stations. And I feel like the program is very innovative and it's very needed,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going great.
Kids can be sometimes a very tough audience.
Oh, kids are the toughest.
Yeah. So how did they let you know that they're not feeling a book?
I mean, you can just tell by their faces when you walk in. Like I said, when I'm walking in the building, automatically they're looking at me like, well, who is that? Like, just kind of intrigued, like, who is that? And then when the teacher or the principal say, hey, we about to read and do this, you can kind of tell. It's like, we thought he was finna come and perform or do something, whatever. And then once you get into it, it's been going pretty good. I mean, you definitely got some kids that the population of pre-K and kindergarten is. So shout out to all the kindergarten and pre-K teachers out there.
Yes, indeed.
we need to figure out something to give you guys free Starbucks because we know that you having a time there with mm-hmm. with the babies. But it's been really great. It's been really great.
Now, there is another project that you were working on, and you refer to your book Desert Communities as communities with little or no libraries.
Correct.
In them. Tell me a little bit about the Bring Literacy to Every Neighborhood effort and the mobile approach that you are taking to that.
So we recently purchased a, I guess you want to call it a truck. It's kind of like when you see the Amazon trucks or mm-hmm. a FedEx truck. We purchased a truck like that. We have sponsors plastered on the left and the right side. The inside, what we're doing now is we have a GoFundMe campaign and we're trying to get a library built on the inside of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Then what we're going to do is in the spring, we'll drive around to those book desert communities and we'll give out free donuts to the community and also give away free books.
Mm-hmm. Why the donuts?
Well, the donuts because I have a donut brand also. See, now you got me promoting all
okay.
kinds of stuff. Now I'm promoting now. So I have a donut brand called Sweets by Sweetwaters.
Okay.
Where we do donuts with just incredible toppings. We have like a donut with old Vienna chips on top that we call the St. Lunatic.
Okay.
We have a donut with bacon that we call the Fat Boy on top. So, you know, we have different flavors and cool flavors of donuts. So we want to give those out for free to the community so that you can have a treat while you're reading a book.
Mm-hmm. And why is it so important that this be mobile? And where do you want it? Where would you like to see it go?
Yeah, well, it has to be mobile because in these communities, everyone is immobile. So we want to be able to come straight to your community. We want to come straight to your doorstep, straight to your neighborhood. And, you know, you have no excuse. We're going to bring the book to you. If you can't get to the books, we're going to bring it to you.
Okay.
I mean, and who don't like donuts? Come on.
This is true.
Everybody like donuts. So we want to give you a donut. We want to give you a book. We want to make it where the adults can you know, get a book with their child and read and get a donut.
Right.
And I just see the program being incredible. I just see it exploding. And hopefully what we can do is just have this thing in different cities across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Put different buses in different cities. And,
mm-hmm. and it'll all have started in STL.
Straight STL. You already know.
Zeus Rebel Waters is a rapper and former teacher and the creator of the children's literacy program, Reading with Rappers. Zeus, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
This episode was produced by Jada Jones.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.